Since 1991, ProTaper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative, and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8-inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, ProTaper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more. Everyone, welcome to the Kickstart Podcast presented by ProTaper. Chase Curtis and I are here in Wildomar, California, SML headquarters. We have Anton and Avery remote. It is the Monday after the Seattle Supercross, which turned out to be
not that bad.
Not nearly as bad as we thought, although the riders all said it was the most difficult, treacherous, evil track of the year. Was it even worse in person, Anton?
I'll definitely say that, you know, we all were bracing for the worst. Like, I packed a lot of stuff in my bag ready for it, you know, all the rain gear, everything like that. But I mean, Dirtworks did it again, dude. Like, they're good. They know exactly what to get done. When I, like, you can see in the news break, there's a lot of standing water in the transitions between the jumps on that, on the clear tarp. But they did what they got to do, working with the AMA, working with Feld. When they pulled the tarps off, yes, on Saturday, it wasn't that bad. I mean, riders even walked on the track for track walk, which was a big surprise. I figured they would just do the stadium lap like we did for a few years. And yeah, it came around. I mean, they had to stay on it. And I think that some of the changes that they made actually could have been for the better. Like, if that had been a standard issue triple leading into the sand instead of just that little double, probably shapes up way different, maybe even a little bit faster. But yeah, I thought it was a great track. I thought they did really, really well, but it was going to get hammered regardless. You know, it's just how it is there.
Dude, the ruts and the transitions were just horrifying. Like, I mean, I don't know. Well, obviously all of us here, except for Avery, we're all amateur riders, and just the thought of landing in a rut is just terrifying to me.
Yeah. And to me, it honestly, it looked like the dirt was less sandy than previous years. To me, I mean, it still looked like it had, you know, a few rocks in it like it normally does, but I've been there some years, I think 2017, and the track's always like it gets rutted, but it's never as sticky as it looked like it was this past Saturday for some reason. It looked a little bit more tacky, and it looked like the guys were, I don't know, it just seemed like the track was stickier than in years past, more tacky than sandy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Just the way that it all seemed like it went. And I'm sure maybe the prep even had some too, when they rolled everything to seal it off, and just the way that the moisture locked in there. But yeah, that's a really interesting dirt, as we've talked about so many times, because A-Ray, even what you said on how rocky it is, the wall jump that Cooper and Jet were jumping over, the backside of that was just straight up river rocks, like the little small, real round, smooth pebbles. And there were a lot of them, but then there were a lot of big bricks, like literal bricks and other parts of the track. Like the one
like red bricks,
like red, like, yo, we just knocked the front of this building off bricks.
Oh, shit.
That berm that was before the mechanics area where they were down to the plywood. And I asked Benny and Kate about this in How Was Your Weekend, but there were bricks in that berm. Like, just the way that the dirt is shaped up. So, of course, the berm was solid because it was built like a brick wall. Like, you could just bang off of it. But then the interesting thing about that turn, and it's what I asked the guys, they were down to the plywood in that section from braking, from acceleration. So when you would go to initiate your lean in, into the turn, you're leaning on wet plywood. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just to see them get down to the plywood, that adds a whole other element to it. You know, they do that. Like, it's Supercross. It's going to happen. But the only spot that it really was happening in was that spot there right by the mechanics area. Yeah, just overall brutal, brutal Seattle track. Yeah, everybody said that it was the most – Jet even said, and Joe said, that it was probably the most technical track that they've ever raced as a Supercross, period.
You know, the forecast changed multiple times, right? Because – leading into the race, we're like, oh, it's the complete mutter. And then the day before the race, when you made your inside SML, you alluded to the forecast getting better.
Yeah.
And then when I was at Glen Helen in the morning, I checked, and then the forecast at that time said, like, heavy chance of rain starting at 6 p.m. So I was like, oh, yes, mutter.
I was worried Saturday morning, even qualifying, I looked again, and I was like, uh-oh, we might get a chance right before night show, so.
Yeah.
We definitely lucked out of that one, I think.
There was some periods of rain and pretty sloppy conditions, all right.
So, yeah, on race day, like from Saturday morning, I think like the last of the rain cleared out by 10 o'clock. So it was good. And even then, it was just kind of spitting. It started raining once I left the track again on Friday night and then stayed that way for most of the night. But then it was clear all day. It wasn't until I got back to the hotel room Saturday night that it started raining again. So we dodged any rain there for sure. And if it did rain, then that would have made it a full-blown mudder. But yeah, no, it wasn't as bad. Wasn't as bad as I think everybody expected. We were definitely fearing the worst. I mean, it's still hard on equipment. I can tell that a lot of the team mechanics are over it at this point. You know, just that many mud builds, that much toll on an inventory for parts and everything. Yeah, it's definitely taking a toll on guys for sure.
Yeah, no good.
Yeah. But I think, made the racing great. I mean, that was a perfect track. Oh, dude. Racing challenging like that. I'm so for these like super technical supercross tracks rather than it being just the smooth flat speedways that everybody kind of wants. Like, I think this is the way it's got to be.
Yeah. And it's crazy to me that like you have a track that's ruddier, more broken down, more sketchy than Indy, right? Like, usually Indy is like everyone is kind of dreading Indianapolis because they know how rutted it gets and how technical it is. But it seems like a lot of the guys were having more issues here than in Indy almost, or if not the same. It's definitely, definitely tough on the guys. It's tough on equipment. You know, you think about, you know, each guy going lower and lower and lower into these berms, using the insides, you know, jumping through the whoops. It's tough on the clutches, tough on the bikes. So yeah, I mean, it's freaking, like you said, Anton, it's great racing though. I mean, I feel like it's a lot closer, even with the guys making mistakes. It's able, you know, they're able to lose time and then catch up, because sometimes, you know, everyone's making mistakes. It's not like one person's just completely perfect. I mean, I guess other than Levi Kitchen over the weekend, but even, listening to after like the post race, even he was making mistakes. Even he was dealing with lappers making mistakes and jumping in front of him and everything like that too. So yeah, it was almost like who could just get around the track the cleanest, I feel like, in both classes. That's pretty much who won the race.
So yeah. I'll say this, A-Ray, what you were kind of talking about where everybody just wanted to get through Indianapolis and it was just a matter of doubling through the night last week, especially in those last Triple Crowns. The Seattle one, I think the track was just good enough and you could see other guys trying to three some stuff where you're like, oh shit, I got to do that too now. Like, if I could find a smooth line to make up a little bit of time and I'm racing it, I better go for it. And yeah, I thought that was the big deciding element on who was willing to do it or not. Like, obviously that wall after the sand was the determining factor for, you know, Cooper and Jet. But at the same time, I think Cooper being able to like two some stuff and then three at one lap and then three to another and just being able to move around, everybody had to do that. Some of the threes the guys would unlock late in a rhythm, I couldn't believe that they would do it.
Yeah.
To what you said, A-Ray, too, about just how hard they would be on the clutch to load up the engine to get the RPMs and then just brrr, and sky it. Yeah.
The last couple laps, like even with Coop, you know, he elaborated on like having arm pump, you know, the last couple laps, and you could just tell like he would get into the rut and he would like seat bounce it, which looked super sketchy, but he would just pop the clutch and seat bounce it just to be able to get over the three. He would land, he would get straight and just like sort of seat bounce and then pop the clutch. That's how he was sort of making those threes, those late laps. And it was almost looking like kind of sketchy, cause it almost looked like he was going to, you know, endo over the bars, especially like the section before the whoops. Right. He was still going for it late.
Was that one of the best 450 mains we've had? I mean, how many lead changes were there? Like four or five lead changes? It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then when it's showing Coop and Sexton going back and forth, I'm still watching where Jet is and watching the gap and everything. And, man, that kid can close some time really rapidly. But then, obviously, he made some mistakes and stuff. But it was a fantastic race. I was glued to the television.
Yeah. It's crazy how Jet can like blitz two sections and just reel them in so quickly. And so
multiple seconds per lap.
Yeah. It's nutty. I think we definitely, it was great racing, but we definitely got got lucky with the mistake in the sand by Jet, and then the lapper getting in his way a couple of laps later, because it seemed like even after that crash, he was just a couple laps away from coming right back to up to the front of the guys.
Was it the heat or the main when he ran into the back of Cooper?
That was Webb. Or that was the main.
That was in the main.
Yeah, okay, that was the main.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, on television, well, no, I was watching my phone, so on the app, when he ran into the back of Oldenburg, I was like, oh, man, if that was Freezy.
No, that was Vince.
The message boards.
It was
It Vince. Was?
In the sand, I'm pretty sure that was Vince.
No, I don't think it was sand. It was like on a jump.
Coming out of the roller? Yeah. No,
that was the wall after the sand.
I'm pretty sure that was Vince. I'm pretty sure that was Vince, yeah.
Because I thought I texted you and someone said no.
Anyway. Oh, no.
No, I think that was Vince. Because when I went by to do my quote at the end of the night, Vince didn't want to talk. And I get it. I was just like, oh, okay, dude. I have to say this, like, we've talked about this before, and like, if it wasn't, it has to be Vince for this story to happen. I have to tell this story, so sorry. But like, some of the shit that people are like doing to racers and how racers just gotta like block it out and go about it is wild. So we're coming off the track after the last 450 race. Everybody's going back to the pits. We're going back down the same tunnel. This big fan, big gauged ears, and like just the typical Pacific Northwest moto bro comes running over the railing and just goes, "Hey, Vince, you suck. Vince, you suck. Fuck you, Vince. Fuck you." And there's like 10 of us standing there, and Vince just fucking just straight ahead, never looked up, had his helmet on, just never broke stride. And like, whatever. Like, fuck that guy, whatever. But dude, the stuff that people like say to racers, like the pressure and all that stuff, like all the little elements that are happening all the time. Like, I know people are going to think that Vince has done enough to like merit that, but just like some idiot on the fucking fans, like, no. Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, whatever. But just seeing that stuff and like how it takes a toll on a dude all the time. Like, when Vince didn't want to do his quote at the end of the night, I was like, yeah, dude, I get it. Like, I get it. No harm, no foul there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know like that anything had happened. And then when I rewatched the race and it looked like it's Vince that slowed Jet up, I'm sure that there might have been a little heat off of that one.
Yeah, because I always get him and Oldenburg like sort of mixed up, because Vince was 55. Vince used to be number 55, and now he's number 125, and Oldenburg is 55. So it's like, it's a little like backwards, and I'm like, oh, that's Vince. So sometimes I get him a little mistaken too. But I mean, I think that, you know, with Vince, he's very like mentally tough. Like, a lot of the times the stuff doesn't get to him, but I mean, for the most part, I think like over and over and over again, it's gotta get to him at some point, you know?
Like, as we've talked about, and everybody's got a Vince story or whatever, and all the racers do too. And so like, I'll tell you, I've seen that same look in his eye. Like, when you talk to him after he's done something and you're just like, whoa, he just straight up like doesn't care. Like, he's just going to let it go. And so I get it. But then like, after so many times, after like, especially seeing that one, like watching the exchange happen, like funny at the time, but later on, I'm like, wow, dude, that's gotta be a heavy way to go through it every single day. You know, like, does anybody come to that guy's job and just tell him, fuck you, you know, like nuts. Yeah.
You can't say you suck to anyone that makes a main.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a hero.
Dude, I remember, I remember, like, if I did something, like, wrong or whatever, and, like, I remember I would just block the guys. Like, I don't know, that shit still sucks. Like,
yeah, there was no blocking this one. There was no blocking this one. This one was, like, loud and in person.
Speaking of loud and in person, the crowd turnout seemed really, really good, dude. Like, it was so loud on TV in a couple moments.
Seattle's a good
one. They're used to being rained on.
Yeah, I guess. I was surprised still, though.
Yeah. You know, okay, so then, like, on the rain thing, because if you look at any comment online this week, it's like, why don't they have this race next door where the Mariners play? And it's like, okay, I think the only way that we could have that happen is if this race was in January. And how cold is Seattle in January? Like, I don't know. You know, because opening day for the Mariners is on Thursday. There's no way that they could get that stadium turned around with the covered field and all of that. Like, there's no way. They would have to go months in advance, because even that San Francisco race that we had a few months ago at this point, they had to have that race then, knowing the damage that it would do to the track so that they could get the field covered back up for opening day for the baseball team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's pretty much, if like you want to have a good race in Seattle at this time of year, because I think this is the only time of year you can go up there, it's got to be right now.
Why can't we go there later in the year, though, like later in the season?
I don't really know if there's like any, like, I mean, you could go later, I guess, right before.
Like right before Salt Lake.
Yeah, but I don't know if the football team's like super into their season at that point, or the soccer team.
Oh, soccer. Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, because I know soccer's like popping off now.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously Jet, well, he got a horrible start, right?
Mm-hmm. Did he hear
anything about that? Did he spin or get blocked?
No, it just like going into the first turn, everybody's together, you know. Chase got a great start. Ken had a very good start coming from the outside. Jason muscled Ken. Ken like cut back under and got a great position after that. But yeah, a lot of good guys were buried in the pack. These Adam Cincirillo and Shane McElrath, good starts that have been coming lately, have now been factors that guys have to contend with, because both dudes have really, really strong laps early, and it's how you get around them. And if you rewatch the first few minutes of the race, Cooper made a lot of passes really fast. Like he went from eighth, ninth to fourth in no time. And it took Jet much longer. But to what we were saying a minute ago, like talking about when Jet does make passes and he is advantageous on stuff, the pass that he made on Adam and then Justin right away, like he had just made the pass on Adam, was slowly putting some gap between him, and then jumps the wall that Justin's struggling over, and boom, he's gone. He makes two passes and puts a ton of distance between both of them. And just like the little micro blips of speed that he has were, I'd love to have seen him catch up to Cooper in the whoops, because the timing pylon's there, but where everybody else was jumping through the whoops, he must have skimmed them to make up so much on Cooper and Chase there on that one lap, because he was right on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was Jet's demeanor after the race? Was he pissed, or was he just glad to get out with third in spite of the mistakes?
Pretty much glad to get out with third. I think that he said something on the podium about, like, if I knew that the incident with Cooper was going to go that way, maybe I should have went in a little bit harder. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to take that statement. I think that was like kind of lucky on both parts for how they got out of that one, because the fork lug's like right in front of Cooper's leg, so it just strips the front wheel right away from Jet. The sandy low speed turn, he goes face first into the tough block, like was able to jump up and get ready. But yeah, he said that he just kind of knew that at one point in the night, there was no point in pushing it anymore. Like he tried a couple times to make that gap close back up. And then at a certain point, if you're not going to catch him and you are running the risk and you could crash and finish seventh now, why give up those points? But yeah, he just straight up said in How Was Your Weekend that at a certain point, the flip switched and he just had to be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a conscious choice, you know, because as I said, I was watching the times and everything, and I was watching it with Eileen, my wife, and she's all, wait, he's not catching up. The gap's bigger. And I go, he's decided to be smart and not risk further mistakes or mishaps.
Yeah. I think that, well, and getting caught behind Vince, that was like almost 9 seconds, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yeah. He went from 7 seconds to 17 almost seconds right then and there. So that really screwed him.
But dude, he did a lap in like. Go ahead, A-Ray.
I was thinking like that move with him and Cooper, right? Do you think that goes back to what Coop did with him? I forgot which round it was at, but like jumping into that inside of the turn right there where Coop fell over. Do you think that had anything at all to do like, hey, I'm going to make an aggressive pass right here because.
Oh, like Birmingham a couple weeks ago?
Know, like you remember? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Like, same thing. I mean, these guys got to throw it in on each other when they can. And I think that those two guys know more than anybody, like, the other guy's willing to do it to me, so I better go do it to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, I mean, he did a lap that was a second and a half faster in the race than anybody. Like, love to see that ridiculous. Lap. Would love ridiculous. To see that lap on its own compared to everybody else's fast lap, because that is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexton
looked good. I think he was the doubling over the wall out of the sand really hurt him, because I think he was quite a bit faster than Webb everywhere else on the track, and Webb was just grabbing him right there every lap. But he definitely sounds like they made some big strides on the bike during the day, actually. So it's interesting, because if we think back to San Francisco during the mud race, he was saying the same thing, like they made big steps during that day on the bike during really muddy conditions. So I don't know if the changes that they made to the bike in Seattle are going to really translate come this weekend when it's dry and in a dome, but who knows? He seems happy right now.
I'll agree that his riding looked great because although he wasn't doing that double over the wall out of the sand, I think his line everywhere else in the sand showed how comfortable he was. I mean, he looked like he was trying to be Jeffrey, you know, just jumping through those rollers that were in the inside of that. But then to break his momentum, like, that was pretty good, because the one time that Cooper tried to do that in traffic was when Chase did catch him, because he didn't know the rhythm to get over the wall after that.
True. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that it's coming around for Chase. He definitely looked improved. And there will have to be a lot said one day later on about how he's managed to minimize the mistakes. I mean, he made mistakes this time. He stalled the bike twice. That's what cost him the win, especially that one stall. But, to get onto the Jet point, like, Jet made his own mistakes and everything like that. But then you see Chase jump into those tough blocks when he says he kind of bent the shifter. It seems like when he or anybody else makes a mistake, like, they're definitely fighting the bike, trying to save the mistake all the way through. Kind of from what I've seen, when Jet makes a mistake, he just kind of lets the mistake happen. He waits until it's actually happened to, and then goes from there rather than trying to fight it until the last second. Does that make sense to you guys, or does that not seem right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because, like, if you watch other guys, especially when they know they're about to have a mistake, even the mistake that Chase made doing the on-off right before the big double where he had to break. Oof. You know, like, he's fighting until the very last second. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Jet just lets the mistake happen and then reacts from there and then goes on. It doesn't ever seem like there's a big energy loss to try to fight it.
Yeah.
Maybe because he knows he can throw a couple burners down and close back up.
Yeah. Right.
Dude, that kid is amazing. Yeah. How did AP do in the mud? Fourth, right? But
yeah, no, he was riding really good. Yeah, he was riding good. He had like a little last minute push there towards the end. He was pretty close with Jet, which, I mean, I think he said after the race that Jet had sort of let up a bit. But I think, you know, anytime it's ruddy conditions, super soft like this, I mean, AP being an East Coast guy, he's gonna excel, I think, in that too. And dude, he's riding good, man. This is by far, I feel like, his best year on the 450, right? Like, I think this, I mean, getting late into this series, I think it's going to carry over into outdoors, and he's going to have a very, very good year, you know?
Yeah, and he's on that updated chassis, which we keep hearing is going to be really good for outdoors. So that's another thing. He was just shy of what you needed for your Bet Online.
I know. We'll talk about that mess later. other 450 things. Was there anything
Kenny had super notable? Kenny went down twice in the same exact section. Almost the exact same crash, too. One in the race, or night show, and one in qualifying. So that was kind of odd, but...
Yeah.
What did he end up?
Ooh, I don't know.
Seventh? Worse?
I thought it was sixth, but I might be wrong.
Anton, are you hearing anything from, like, the Eli camp? Just out of curiosity, like, is he talking to anybody? Is his mood still good?
Talking.
There was no talking. All right, yeah.
Like, I don't mean that disrespectfully. There was no talking this weekend from them at all. Like, and I mean, when the start of that moto happened, I looked up going through the first turn, and he was like, no shit, in 17th, and I was like, oh no, because I thought. It was another one where I'm like, oh, he's going good. Like, his qualifying, I watched second qualifying session from factory filming. He looked great. Yeah. There was a nice back and forth between him and Jet to get P1 in that one, and they were both definitely going for it. He looked good in the heat race. That was a good battle with Hunter. I thought it was all coming pretty well. Just bad start. I mean, just another bad start.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Benny Bloss was there. You know, we all thought that Benny was hurt from last week.
Yeah, what?
Apparently, like, where the injury is right here, so they misread it as a break, where it's just like a separation from his sternum. So he flew all the way to California last week after Indianapolis to get worked on, gets all the way to California. That doctor says he doesn't need anything, so he just kind of took it mellow and then made the main event on Saturday. And I even asked him, like, fully serious but kind of joking, that beta has to be good in those kinds of conditions. Like, it's only getting better the further they go on in the year, but more slower speed stuff like that, which is the way those things are, being to be more nimble, being able to pilot it through the ruts, bike's looking good, you know.
Colt missed out on the main, right?
Colt missed out on the main, but that was like a tough heat race. And I mean, that was a big LCQ. That was a stacked LCQ, and he didn't get a good start in that one either.
Yeah, he wasn't even close.
It's great to see Benny. It's great to see Benny like a regular fixture in there, right? Like, I mean, got first top 10 for the beta, put the beta in the main for the first time. But I mean, I would say like he's as good as he would be on any bike right now, right?
You think so?
Like,
yeah, no, I'd say that. I'd say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think he looks
in this
great
field. Yeah, in this field, straight up. Like, no disrespect to Benny or anything like that. He's definitely got his day where he's the guy. But I think like the situation and what it would take to get onto one of those teams, this is the best outcome that he could have right now. Mm-hmm. You were gonna say something earlier, A-Ray?
Yeah. What happened to your guy?
Yeah. No. I was just going to ask you guys if there was anything that you guys heard, like, is he hurt or is something going on with him? Cause like, he was pretty far off. Like, it's not like he wasn't even near like the qualifying like position.
Yeah. I had heard he was fine. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. The qualifying wasn't great. The start in LCQ was horrible though.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't good.
I didn't hear anything like something was wrong or anything like that. And I just checked in with him for a quick second on Saturday morning. I know it was his birthday and everything like that. So who knows how the day felt after that one. Because there have been some guys having some bad days on their birthday lately.
Yeah. Break?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't...
We're mentally exhausted from today.
Yeah,
already,
sorry, so guys.
we're gonna take a quick break here from our sponsors. Back for more.
X-Brand Goggles was launched in 2008, and over the past two decades, they've earned a reputation as one of the elite eyewear choices in our sport. The newest offering, the Lucid Goggle, features an XDO injection molded lens for exceptional optical clarity, as well as superior protection against the massive roost that modern-day four-stroke bikes throw. At SWAT Moto Live, we love the Lucid Goggle for its huge field of vision. Check them out at xbrand.com. That's eksbrand.com. If you're on the West Coast and you're looking for a one-stop shop, you need to visit the guys at STR Motorsports, formerly known as Shock Therapy Racing. With over 30 years of experience, your bike will be in great hands. Whether you're looking for a custom performance suspension revalve or just a basic rebuild, they've got you covered. STR also offers motor building services. Whether you need a stock engine rebuilt or a full-blown race motor, they're the place to go. Conveniently located in Wildomar, California, they're very close to Lake Elsinore and Parrish Raceway. Additionally, they maintain a full stock of oils, tires, and tubes. They can get pretty much anything you need. Check them out at shocktherapysuspension.com.
Bill's Pipes has been producing championship-winning high-performance exhaust systems for all types of off-road motorcycles since 1974. Whether you're a mini racer or simply a premix burning diehard, our two-stroke pipes and silencers deliver unbeatable performance gains. Our four-stroke exhaust systems provide affordable performance gains and are available for motocross, off-road, ATV, and side-by-side applications. Best of all, every product from Bill's Pipes is produced and assembled in the USA. Check us out at billspipesusa.com.
Did you know that in addition to being some of the coolest people on motocross, the crew at WUSA are the official importers of Talon, Kite, and Edge hubs, as well as the leading resource for DID and Excel rims. Through the years, we've tested plenty of aftermarket wheels, and the wheel building crew at WUSA can't be beat. WUSA is the source for all things associated with wheels, including sprockets, spoke wrenches, tire irons, and more. Mention SWAT Moto Live when ordering anything from WUSA and get a nice little discount too. Check them out at WUSA.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan Villapoto. Now that I'm living the retired life and not bound to factory team sponsors, I'm able to choose my partners when it comes to building my bikes. I choose Backyard Designs to create my motorcycle graphics because they do a great job. Their kits look great, go on easy, and last long.
Backyard Design has the most comprehensive and user-friendly graphic website in the sport. Use the discount code SWATMOTO at checkout for a discount at backyarddesignsusa.com.
G'day guys, this is 9-time X Games gold medalist Jared McNeil. Off the motocross bike, I spend plenty of time cross-training on my intense mountain bike. From the super fast and efficient Sniper cross-country bike to the aggressive Primer and Tracer trail bikes, or even the amazing Taser e-bike, Every intense is designed and developed in the United States and built to the highest standards. A life on two wheels certainly includes pedals too. So give the crew at intensecycles.com a look.
What's up? This is Christian Craig. As a motocross racer, being in top physical shape is a must, and my favorite way to train is cycling. And whether it's road biking or mountain biking, I rely on Roy Cyclery to keep my bikes in perfect running order.
Roy Cyclery has been servicing Old Town Upland, California since 1962. Mention the Swap Moto Life podcast for additional discounts in the show.
Guts Racing, the leaders in seat technology. Go to gutsracing.com today and design your custom seat cover. We try to ship all custom seat covers within 36 business hours. We also offer free shipping to the lower 48 states. Once again, that's gutsracing.com.
Over the past 40 years, EVS Sports has established themselves as the leaders in innovation and technology when it comes to designing protection gear for today's motocross riders. Athletes like RJ Hampshire, Kyle Chisholm, Axel Hodges, and Travis Pastrana all wear EVS when they race, ride, or whatever Travis decides to do that day. Check out EVS-sports.com to gear up like the pros.
Everyone, welcome back to the Kickstart Podcast presented by Pro Taper. Last week...
Oh, it's a great weekend for me. Thank you, Cooper Webb.
Last week we talked about BetOnline.ag coming in to host Supercross betting. And so I loaded my account up. Mm-hmm. But first weekend, I'm like, oh, I'm going to tiptoe. I'm going to dip my toe into the water here. But I saw the odds, right? BetOnline released their odds. And knowing well that Aaron Plessinger is a excellent mud rider, knowing well that the forecast was supposed to be super wet, I'm like, yo, why are his odds like this? And so then I'm like, I'm betting on it. So I texted AP and was like, yo, how are we feeling for this weekend? He's all, you good. And sends like this picture of him sticking his tongue out. So I'm like, okay, it's on. So I go back onto the BetOnline website and the odds had changed even better. Yeah. Plessinger was plus 1,800, right? So I'm like, yo, all right. Gonna stay conservative. I tried to bet $100 on Plessinger to win, it would only let me bet $55.
Yep.
Because apparently the odds makers, they had March Madness going this weekend and all this, so they wanted to play some limits.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet $55 on Plessinger to win. If he had won, I would have made $1,096 or something like that, right? So I was like, yeah, okay. Well, I have $100. I said I'd bet $100, so I bet the remaining on the 250 class. And I was like, oh, let's bet on Joe because he's had some time off. He's been testing. He's been feeling good. And, you know, he could come back a different guy. So I bet on him to win. We obviously know I lost both my bets.
Yeah.
So if I'm only, down $100 bucks. But I didn't look into the website as closely as you. There was other bets to be
made. So I had a completely different view on this weekend. I decided, why not just send it because it's the first weekend and why not take a couple bets, you know? Yeah. Hey, if I went out on a limb and said, hey, Justin Cooper on the podium because I can make some good money doing that. Mm-hmm. But in case that doesn't
there
go
was,
well.
There was options on the website to say podium.
Yeah.
I thought it was you could only bet on the win.
No, win and podium. So I took Justin Cooper, which if he had landed on the podium, it would have been a really, really big reward.
Yeah.
But knowing that was a little out there, I was like, you know what? I think Cooper could grab a win this weekend. So I took Webb.
For the win.
And when he came out in time qualifying and was wearing the same bright neon Thor kit that he won at Anaheim 2 in, I was like, oh, it's on.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Webb. That was $600 right there.
Oh.
Yeah. And so
dang.
And so then I also kind of went on a limb in 2B class and said Marchbanks third place, which obviously we were so close until Joe got him, but that would have been awesome. But I did pretty good because, yeah, I lost some money with J. Coop and Marchbanks, but at the end of the day, I still made $420 because of Webb.
Yo, so. Really?
Yeah. So it was a good
weekend. And how much did you go in? 100?
I went in 100 in, I think altogether with all three bets, I went in 220 or something like that.
Okay, so you still made $190 or something.
I made $420
after.
Yeah, I made $600, but I made $420 after. Bad math. Sorry.
Where are we going for dinner tonight? Because I said if I won, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Great weekend.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, we got a lot of comments on our social posts about BetOnline AG,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it was from A-Ray's former sponsor trying to like talk down, but somebody said something ridiculous like, oh man, it's bad for our sport that betting is coming in, but no way, dude. I think it's going to make more people aware, and it
provides another entertainment factor.
Yeah.
Because like Saturday, I told my mom after the race, I'm like, oh, mom, I just made a couple $100. She's like, what? And she was on the phone with my uncle. And my uncle was like, oh, like uncle probably hasn't watched Supercross since 2004.
Really?
But it sounds like he's going to be paying attention next weekend.
Yeah, and then it's funny because I think they're probably going to have to do something on their site because Supercross is listed in their auto racing.
Yeah.
But Jamie Ellis at Twisted texted me, dude, I want to place some bets. I can't find it. Yeah. But it was too late. I don't know what time they cut it off, but betting was closed because I sent him the proper link and it was like you couldn't bet anymore. But there's definitely some action out there.
So it is under auto racing.
Yeah. It is under auto racing.
Okay, yeah.
But you can hit the direct link on our story, like straight to the Supercross page.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, because I had some people at the races. This was a hot topic this weekend. You know, even our social posts, people were asking about them. And so people were trying to find out, like, what was all on there. So when they couldn't find the Supercross betting line, they all just started playing online poker.
Nice. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I'm gonna be a little bit smarter next weekend.
I'm planning on using that $420 that I made and
to go big
right back in. Yeah,
you're gonna hit that parlay, Chase. You're gonna be betting on fucking KTM Junior kids in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
seventh
yeah.
is gonna get fifth. Yeah, wait Heck till yeah. you start reading up about parlays. You're gonna be the ace. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Gonna break
you know, it's a good thing that A-Ray's not racing because I'd be placing bets on Alex Makes the Main.
Dude,
yeah.
BetAG would have to have it. There's like specials on there. I was just looking at all the different ones. There could be a full-on Alex special line.
Right, right. Like under other, a football category, there's like yes. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift bets. There would be like an A-Ray bet under Supercross.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Alex. No disrespect, but there could be a what tough block does he land on? Is it the Falcon tires? Is it the Alpine stars? Yes.
Oh, dude, that's freaking awesome.
That'd be tight.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Speaking of tough blocks, did you guys see how like strategically they replaced this weekend? I swear, every big crash, the guy went gracefully into a tough block.
Yeah, right.
Usually, it works out where tough blocks are kind of hindering. And aside from the Sexton incident where he bent his brake lever. I think they like saved a lot of guys, especially Smith.
Yeah,
he got saved twice by them.
Poor Jordan.
Oh,
poor Jordan.
Oof. Did you see the Moto Memes post?
Yeah,
about Jordan.
Yes, Smith, did.
With the guy with his eyes going opposite ways. Oh man,
who took that picture of Pilo?
Oh jeez. Okay, yeah, before we dive into the 250 Supercross class, I have to say that we're a little bit disheartened about the forecast this weekend here in Southern California. It's supposed to rain Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Why are we disheartened?
Monday, too.
Oh.
So the two-stroke world championships have been postponed until April 20th.
Wow.
So that also falls on the same day as the Tennessee Supercross round, Nashville. So obviously A-Ray will not be in town.
Mm-mm.
So
I don't have a flight booked yet. I don't have a flight booked yet.
I know, but dude, how can you miss that race for you, right? But
yeah, no, and it's my birthday weekend too, so that's another deal.
Hold on, would you buy 2 plane tickets to go to Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay. You better buy them soon because that shit's gonna be expensive.
Well, I mean, either that or I mean, I can. Well, you can fly into Louisville, you can fly into Memphis, you can fly. There's other places you can fly into, so it's fine.
But yeah, so since the two-stroke race has been delayed, you're unable to compete. It has taken my enthusiasm and gone, whoosh, right? Because I've been riding the KTM 300 and raced it this Saturday and. Have your suspension for the YZ 250 at Racetech, and I had all this planned out, right? I was going to go to Race Tech later this afternoon and have somebody call you, Alex, and I was going to film it with my GoPro for my vlog and have him say, "Hey, Ray, what are you weighing these days so that we can set the spring rate?" And I was going to record it, your answer.
Oh, my God. Chase, to the pet in all confidence, okay, this morning, okay? And, yeah, I don't know. There was a lot. Did I send it to you? I feel like I did.
You said that you've gained 20 pounds.
I didn't tell me what you weighed. 20 pounds, but I thought I sent Chase a Snapchat of the video I took this morning on the standing on the scale.
Let me look right now.
Oh, God. Live reveal.
Oh, man.
Race Tech has their own shock springs, and they could find one appropriate for your weight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you weigh, right? They got the setting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they got the setting for sure.
What's the number? Whoa!
Thanks to the magic of screen recording, you guys will all be able to see.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. Yeah, no, it's not good. It is not good.
Hey, Ray, what are you bulking season on? Like, what have you found that you like so much? Everything?
Golf and beer.
Yeah, it's beers. It's these like chicken nuggets they got at Costco.
Ooh.
Those things, you put them in the air fryer, dude, and they're so good.
That's the issue, the air fryer, dude.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
But wait, is air frying healthier than deep frying? It is, right?
Yeah, but it makes you...
I mean, it's still...
Everything tastes so good air-fried that you just want to eat everything. I had the same issue a couple years ago. We had to get rid of it.
Bro, have you had an air-fried grilled cheese?
I put steaks in there.
You put steaks in there?
Yeah, I put steaks in there. Dude, put anything. Chicken tenders, chicken nuggets.
I've heard of the grilled cheese, Anton. That's good.
Well, like chicken wings. Like, dude, anything and everything, bro. I throw it all in the air fryer. Like, anytime I want to make a bagel... I freaking throw it in the air fryer. Anytime I'm like trying to toast something, eat all of it. We put those freaking waffles in there the other day. Samantha got some like blueberry waffles or something. Threw those in there.
Agus?
Ate those.
Dude, I watched Megan throw a chicken.
How is the new bride feeling about your post racing figure?
The thing about it is she is eating just as much as I am, so I think that her and I are gonna we're gonna figure out a gym membership after. I mean, I have
Dude,
a gym membership.
Samantha's still tiny though, she's not putting on no weight.
Well, we need to be healthier living, dude, because I'm taking on water.
Taking on water, yeah. I'd say 5 pounds of it is probably the leg hair.
No,
it's
probably the back hair, yeah. It's the back.
Oh, you quit getting your back waxed now that you're married?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely did. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not summertime yet, you know. Like if I'm going to the beach or something, I got to be trimmed up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. All right, well, after we're done with the podcast, I call Race Tech and say, "You don't have to do that suspension."
Yeah, don't worry about it, guys. Unfortunately. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Who's going to be the replacement? Who's going to be the replacement?
Well, I don't know because it's a race, right? Marshall Welton hit me up for borrowing a bike, but
boom, done deal. That'd be perfect.
He won't be. Will he not be racing Nashville?
Yeah, he'd be at
race
Nashville,
showdown.
Maybe not.
I mean, he races lights. I mean, he might.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably be racing the showdown. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll give him a call, but I'm gonna give 300 back to. I'm gonna give 300 back to KTM.
Oh, you're just done with two strokes completely.
Done. Oh. Done for the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, while you're there, can you get an oil filler screw?
Oh, yeah, dude, my poor ass bike. That poor thing.
So I texted. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the oil filler plug, Anton, fell out of the KTM 450 Factory Edition while A-Ray was winning by like half a track on Saturday. And he looked like a spy hunter, just smoke screen. So somebody waved you off. Was it the flagger or was it the guy?
Yeah.
Some guy telling you to pull off?
Some guy that just like walked like, yeah, he was just like, hey, your bike's smoking. So I looked down and I could see like all the oil everywhere. I'm like, all right, cool. But, you know, was I really at a race if my bike wasn't smoking, you know?
No, yeah. So I texted that.
Hold on, Don. Sorry. Hey, Ray, now that you had a bike smoking, could you see how Eli doesn't know his bike is smoking when he's in the red zone at Daytona?
Yep. No idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
So I texted the video to Braden at KTM, and I go, "Hey, Ray." And he just goes, "Oh, no. Did he stop in time or did he blow it up?" I go, "No, he got stopped by a spectator." And I said, "Now the question is this on Chase doing an oil change or who's it on?" And
he goes, "I haven't changed the oil."
He goes, "Oh, before he got hurt, he asked us for an oil change."
I did.
So when they were repairing the bike, it may have been on one of them.
It might have.
I don't know, but we'll see.
It might have. Yeah. I saw that picture and was like, "Oh, nope."
The good thing is that the bike is healthy. It's fine. We'll get you a new oil filler cap. And
that poor bike.
Poor thing. Subjected to some abuse.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
Let's find out, Lo, in a couple weeks if this is one of those cursed bikes like me and Casey Davis had back in the day, though, too. Like, be careful, A-Ray. There's some voodoo bikes out there.
I was starting to think about that, too, Anton.
Yeah. Bad juju.
Yeah, trust me. I've every voodoo bike that I've owned, I feel like it's been a voodoo bike.
Yeah. We'll call Chad's witch doctor and have him figure out what the bug is.
Yeah. He need crystals.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back to the racing, Levi Kitchen, hometown hero.
Oh my goodness.
Killed it.
My God.
He had a haircut. Do you notice that?
Did he? I haven't seen
him
in a while.
His hair was shorter.
Dude.
I thought that the long hair was his strength, like Samson.
Ridiculous.
I don't know. I feel like these track conditions are right up his alley, though. He stands up a lot, feet on the pegs. You know, he's real, technical. He's good with ruts, that type of stuff. He's from the Pacific Northwest. He's from up there. So, I don't know. I just feel like it was a big win for him. And they were even saying on the broadcast about how loud the crowd was when every time he would pass by. Yep. So, Anton, you were there. So, how loud was it?
Oh, Pro Circuit pits were popping before and after the race. There's not a lot of people in the, unless it's somebody's home race, there's nobody around the trucks afterwards. But I think that all of Levi's fans rushed security like they did at Daytona because, all of Washougal was in the pits after that race was over.
That's sick.
Yeah.
But that, dude, getting Levi in, how was your weekend? You know, he had a lot of autographs to sign and then he came over and did it. But there's a mob of people behind and he had said how much of a relief it was to get it done, because if he didn't get it done that day, I think he would have beat himself up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long has it been, you guys think, since Mitch has had both the red plates for both series?
I looked back in one of the inside SMLs and said, I think it was, I can't remember. It was 2016, I think.
So it's almost been a decade.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
Their last championship was Justin Hill, right?
I think it was 9 years, I think is what I saw. But yeah, unbelievable. So cool for them. And this was this was Levi's first actual win, not a Triple Crown deal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Mitch's awesome. Kids go ahead, Eric.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to say that it's crazy to think that it's almost been a decade since the full pro circuit just domination, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This generation, all they think about is star racing, star racing, star racing. They think totally. Oh, pro circuit, But mm-hmm. back in our day, pro circuit was the shit, right? It was the team to be on. It was the best stuff, way over anything else, right? And they won everything. But now, in the last decade or whatever, I feel like it's been star. So, I don't know. To me, it's kind of cool to see the Pro Circuit coming back, leading both series. I think it's just a little bit of a relief, I would say, for Mitch, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember Las Vegas Showdown? What year was it when they had that top four guys? That's insane.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mitch's kids are into it too. One of them was there this weekend and he had little Nike Jordans on, and one was red and white and one was green and white. And I looked at him and I smiled, and Mitch saw me see it and smiled, and he's like, "Tell him why you did that." And the kid's like, "Well, it's one green shoe because it's a Cowie, but then it's a red shoe because it's a red plate." And I'm like, "Hell yeah." And I go, "No, that's the big question. Is it a pair where there's one red and one green, or is it two pairs of shoes?" And he smiled and he's like, "It's two pairs of shoes." And I was like, "Hell,
wow,
big balling over there." Yeah,
well, but the other twin could have had the other two shoes on.
Oh, maybe that's sharing.
No, he had the Fruity Pebbles Nikes on.
Oh, my goodness.
He had his own. Yeah,
Nice, nice.
You know, I haven't gotten to rewatch it yet, but I know that they did a feature on Troy revolving around the Ghostbusters thing, and I'm sure it was great, you know, because it looks like they filmed it in Corona. Mitch needs a whole, like, two-hour Williams-style documentary like they did on the F1 team about everything that he's gone through, because even to your point, A-Ray, a decade of non-dominance like they've had would be pretty moral killing for some people, and Mitch has just stayed in it, and I think that if anything, it's made the whole team better, and you see the people that have come and gone through the team over the years, you know, Bones not being at the races as much and all these other people coming in. But dude, Mitch is getting to figure it out again, and that's so cool to see. They are so happy at the truck afterwards right now. It's cool.
Yeah, I bet.
So rad.
Yeah.
RJ second.
Yeah.
And but Jordan Smith, dude, that poor guy.
Whew.
He went as far as to post on his Instagram story, like, yo, for the record.
Yeah, good on him for that, honestly.
Know, I thought that was really good. Were you able to talk to him afterwards, Michael?
Mm-mm. No, he, like, okay, so I had watched the first crash happen because I just heard the, oh, from the crowd, and I look up, and then there's the bike leaned over on the tough blocks, and then I'm looking, and I'm like, well, where's the rider at? Like, where is the rider at? And he was over, leaned up against the video camera. And then two laps later, I'm pretty much in the same spot. And then he's having another little off-track excursion. And I was like, oh, shit, poor Jordan. And then at the finish line, he and another rider tangled and he's pushing his bike. Or no, that was Thrasher maybe. But there were enough PC guys or enough Star guys having problems where I was just like, damn, dude, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I saw Jordan and his wife and the baby at the airport yesterday. But I was running late for my flight, so I wasn't going to like run over there and say what's up. But he seemed in good spirits, and, you know, he put that post out using our photo after he had won that heat race to explain the night. And you just feel so bad for the guy because, like we'd been talking about between him, between RJ, between Pierce on the East Coast, it's, are these guys, Cameron too, are these guys figuring out how to get away from that stuff? And it's still racing, man. Those nights still happen every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a big one, the first crash, though. And did his back go into the camera thing tower?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all padded or was it's not
it's padded.
Wood?
It's padded.
No, it's padded. It's got a pad around it. And I know that he has a chest protector and everything, but I mean, still, that's, you're going however fast that was to a dead stop.
Yeah. How about the camera guy's angle too? It's yeah. So crazy looking. But,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, that was a bummer just to watch.
Yeah. Cause it sucks too. Cause J-Hop, his mechanic, had the red plates and the toolbox, and he's like, we're putting these back on after tomorrow night. And I was like, hope so, J-Hop, like, that'd be great for you, you know. And and it's a two guy fight now in this title.
Yeah. Joe getting up to third, did you notice like how he just caught fire, like, right at the end of the race? Well,
I mean, dude, I they talked about it on the broadcast, but Joe's mentioned how he's been having issues those opening rounds just because the track was so easy, and he gets better as the track develops and gets rougher, and that seems like that's exactly what happened Saturday. I mean, he seemed to find his way as it broke down more and more.
So he fell early on. Was that a fall all by himself, or did he run into somebody?
No, he fell by himself. He had like jumped into the tough box.
Yeah, I don't know. He looked good, I thought.
His kit was sick.
Yeah, did you see that helmet, the way it was painted?
Yeah,
on the back?
The helmet's cool.
You know, I didn't realize that GNCC racing was so big in Japan, you know, because I've seen a couple American
There's
guys
a whole
like,
series, yeah.
Dude, wow. That's, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but like, if Joe really does like racing, still 5, 7, 8 years from now after his 450 thing, what if he becomes like the Japanese Caleb Russell? He just gets
sick.
Really bitching like at the 2.5 hour mark of a GNCC and has like 9 championships.
That'd be sick.
Do you think he would go home after he's done? Or
yeah, he said he's told me multiple times. As soon as he's done, he's going back home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd be the next Akira Narita over there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could do all of it.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that's what Narita's doing. He's doing, they call it JNCC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not Grand, it's Jap.
I dude, but I think that's rad. Like, I didn't know that series was to the level that it is, and then to see so many people go do it in the last couple of years and how big into off-road they are is cool. And I'm sure those are completely different kinds of trails than what we're used to over here.
It's kind of shocking, though, that they have a series like that because there's such a lack of riding land, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gary? You want to go race a JNCC?
I would love to. Let's go. Let's go to Japan.
Yeah? Yeah. I'll call Akira. Okay. We'll set it up.
Let's go. Let's
yeah, and then it. Samantha could go. She finally visit her
homeland.
Her homeland.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Maybe we can just maybe we can do that. You know, Swap Moto Live take care of the flights, and Samantha and I'll just go over there and I'll race, and then afterwards we'll stay for an extra couple of days and spend our honeymoon there. Fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. I'm down. 100%.
I'll look into that. I'll get right on that.
Yeah.
March Banks rode real well.
Yeah, he did. Not quite enough for my bet for online, but it's okay. Yeah.
See, it's all different now that I know you can bet.
If he can find a way to twist the thing on the right off the gate, then dude, I mean, he's a top three guy all day, you know, especially when the track gets super nasty like that. I mean, he's a bulldog.
I think he was 11th off the start.
Hmm. Not great. He is bigger. I mean, he's lost a lot of weight and trimmed down, but he's still bigger than the other guys.
I don't know.
I mean, he's a star.
Yeah, I mean, when you're 6'2", it's tough to really like compete with someone who's maybe like 5'9" and 130 pounds. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's definitely got a setback, but at the same time, it's like I think he can do it. I think he can figure it out for sure.
Yeah.
What other notable 250 things?
Mumphy, dude, top five.
Yeah, fifth.
You're welcome for the good charm from the SML show. I think that's what it was, yeah.
But he equaled his career best.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good for
him. Yeah, he's worried, dude. After he seen me riding the Moto Concepts bike the other day, he's like, I got to do something. Yeah, right. But still.
Michael Mosman, fastest racer in the world.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Dethroning Jet Lawrence.
Yeah.
Some of those comments, my goodness.
How did he end up?
Fifth, sixth,
seventh,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
It was good. Not the best. Good for Mosey.
He has a leg injury or an ankle injury now. He was questionable to even race.
Crazy. Really?
Yeah.
Like he heard it during the heat race.
No, he heard it during the week or something, and there. I guess he was thinking about not even lining up. So, yeah. Considering that, it was
Yeah. I heard about it, but I heard very little. I didn't get any kind of like full-on info, and then he wasn't there on Friday, which I was surprised by because that'd have been the perfect time for him to do the full media blitz.
Yeah. I forgot how good 76 looks on a bike. That's a cool-looking number. I like it. I like it a lot.
That reminds me of Roderick Thane. Do you even know who that is?
No.
Yeah.
He had iron-ons, though.
Iron-on names?
Yeah. Mosman.
Yeah.
No, I think all their jerseys are iron-ons for the names and numbers. Yeah.
Never mind then. There you go.
Really?
On the star, I mean, Cooper's isn't, but all the star jerseys I've noticed are iron-ons.
Okay. Who had the sickest kit?
Sickest kit? 2V class or all?
All.
Ooh.
Joe's
kit was Anderson? All right. I like Joe's.
Yeah. Joe's was cool.
I like the helmet. Was Anderson wearing the black stuff with the green dots?
Yeah.
That's it for me. I like that.
I don't know. There's nothing that really stood out to me this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like the way the red stuff looked on Sexton on the KTM. I don't know why. I usually don't like red and orange, but I thought it looked pretty good. Webb's stuff was so bright. I can't believe how bright it is.
It's kind of unflattering too, I think.
I wonder if he's gonna wear it more since he's won twice with it on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Ricky
to see
in orange gear.
Yeah.
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 I like that though. That stuff looks really, really good with a blue bike.
Yeah, and when he does the blue boots with the blue number on the back, it's good.
What's up? What's Ferrandis was out.
Yeah, he's
when
out
does
again.
Does he come back?
I think he's still dealing with an infection, right?
Yeah, it said something about an infection, but then I also heard like a bone bruise. I don't know. I'm not sure on the on the whole
deal.
The
bone bruise was on his knee.
I hope that he's back this weekend. Yeah.
Did you guys have anyone in? Oh yeah, Juju.
Not great in the mud. Juju, bro. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's. I don't know. I think he's struggling a little bit in the ruts. I mean he had a decent showing, right? I mean he's getting good starts. You know, I just think that, you know, some mistakes in the main event sort of hindered him a little bit, you know, and he shuffled his way back, top 10, that's great, but I feel like there's some guys in front of him that I feel like shouldn't have beat him, you know?
Can we get O'Neal to make him like a wetsuit or something? Maybe that'll help.
A wetsuit?
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, he is a rookie, and this is, you know, his first time at a lot of these venues and sort of, you know, getting some stuff under his feet. So hopefully here pretty soon he gets the hang of it.
I think he'll be good this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the speed. I just think that, you know, with the experience, all that stuff, you know, a few more races under his belt, I think he'll be better. I think that this is my opinion, right? And Davey might be pissed off at me for thinking this. But I think that it would have been good for him to maybe go east during the break. I mean, I know I think he had like an injury or something small happened to him, but I would have liked to have seen him maybe go on the East Coast, maybe whether it be MTF, you know, with Davey or something, you know, Florida, just to try something different, try, you know, some different dirt, you know, ride on practice on some roadier tracks, maybe with some other people, because I mean, you guys know, I mean, he's for the last month, he's been the only guy up there at the KTM track other than Haney, you know? So yeah. I think that, and he's already done probably a million laps on that, both of those tracks that they have there. So, I mean, he hasn't had anything different, you know. I think that he needs to, this is just my opinion. I think that he needs to change up, you know, his where he's riding and who he's riding with during the week, just for a week or two, you know, just to try something different. I feel like that, you know, because when you ride the same track over and over and over again, and you know it like the back of your hand, you're just out there, right? You're just out there clicking off the laps, and it's good in the middle of the season. You know, it's safer that way. It's better. But I think, like, if you're wanting to make changes and you're wanting to make that next step, you got to put yourself in some different situations. You got to really, I don't know, make yourself feel uncomfortable to make that next step.
Yeah. I am surprised he's not riding more with the, like, Ryder and Pierce and Will's guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's wrap this up because Chase is going to take me to a meal with his $420 that he won. But, guys, thanks for checking out the Kickstart podcast presented by Pro Taper. Looking forward to some great action this weekend in St. Louis, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hold on about that because it's home race.
Oh,
we got a lot going on this week, so I just got to shout out Paul Willis at Archu. You know, Archu is the spot to go if you're down in St. Louis right now. There's a couple places to ride. Ride Organics, the other one. Both are about 45 minutes away. Archu is supposed to be the spot, though, this weekend because you're going to have some riding on Friday. Dino is even doing a school out there, which is huge. I wish I could go to that school because it's the track I ride all the time. Sick. I wish Dino could tell me what to do better, but I'll be at press day instead. And then on Sunday is the big ride day there. I'm going to try to make it out, even though it's Easter and our wedding anniversary. I'm still going to try to go do some laps in the morning. But it's like the place to go. You know, weather's been pretty good in St. Louis lately. They'll make sure that track's good. Terry will always make sure that Ride Organic is popping off too. So yeah, I just got to get that shout out in because I want to go to both those places at some point this year to go ride. So.
Hey, Anton, what's the dirt typically like at St. Louis? Is it
for Supercross?
So
yeah,
best.
I was about to say this. So if any, it's always the best dirt. I feel like St. Louis, Atlanta, it's always been like the best dirt of the series. If you're ever curious about how the dirt is, go ride at Archview because it might be a little bit of a different color, but it feels the exact same way when you're riding a motorcycle. I've been to Archview. I love that track. It's amazing dirt. So yeah, if anyone's ever local to St. Louis and has always wondered like, oh man, like how is that dirt to ride on? It's the exact same as R2. So yeah, if anyone's curious, that R2 track, it's amazing. You know, I did a race there in 2015, 16, I guess with Bubba Pauly when we were on the BWR team. You know, I got a photo of me and Bubba Pauly over that big tabletop right in there in the front. Bubba Pauly doing an endo right behind me because he hit a kicker with his feet up. It's awesome. But yeah, no, it's a great place, man. And I'm sure Anton, I'm sure your brother will have a table at Ballpark Village after the race. So
legend,
you know,
yep.
Straight up, you know, so he'll be out there with the bottle service and having the beers ready.
Yep. Yep. And hey, I mean, even on the Paul, on the Archview thing, if you didn't bring your bike, you can still show up because they're going to have the Jason Raines Yamaha fleet there.
Oh, shit.
So you can jump on that too. Yeah. And also a lot of other extracurricular activities around the exit that Archview is on. I know that there's like 3-4 gentlemen's clubs right there. There's a really nice flea market also right there. There's a prison if you got to get into that. Yeah. There's a lot to do right there. Yeah. So, but yeah, yeah, no, this is a fun weekend. You know, it is home race. I'm excited to see so many people there. I've had a lot of people asking me about it too. I know this one turns out, but I had to get that shout out. And if you are coming, weather looks pretty good this week. If you want to bring a bike to get some laps in on Friday or Sunday, there's plenty of places to come do it.
Don, you should go out there. Hit the road tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe since I'm not doing the two-stroke race. Yeah. Jeez.
Dude, all right, guys, thanks for... Like, if you go to Archview, like that track is a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, guys.
What's the dirt like at Archview? I've always wondered.
Just like St. Louis. Just like St. Louis, bro. St. Louis,
super fun. All right. I got to go get my dinner with Chase, man. Free dinner tastes the best. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for checking out the Kickstart podcast presented by ProTaper.
Since 1991, ProTaper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative, and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8-inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, ProTaper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more.